I knew that would resonate. I mean, part of it is in this idea of prayer, and the reason why we're leaning into it, I'm going to tip my hand this morning a little bit to those that have been walking with me in our leadership for the last couple of years, because we're in a season really of wondering what it is that God wants us to do next. And I can come up with all sorts of plans, and we can map all sorts of things out, but it's not my plan. It's his plan. And so he is championing his church. Jesus has said it to Peter that he will build his church. And so we need to trust in that. And yet in the season we find ourselves as both a local church and as the church written around the community and the church written in the world, is the issues of our life, the messiness of our life is still there in so many different ways. And yet we know that the answer to the life's questions is Jesus. Amen? And on Easter Sunday, we know that's where it resonates. But even a couple weeks ago, I had an amazing meal with a pastor in Columbus at my daughter's restaurant, Sweet Carrots. So there's a little plug if you ever get to Polaris, go check it out. But even in the context of a church that's vibrant and growing, even they are trying to figure out, because our lives are just too busy. And so part of what I want to offer you this morning on this Easter Sunday is to challenge you to think a little bit. I'm going to give you a model of prayer that's based on the five dimensions. And so as we lean into that, but I want to start first with a word of prayer myself, and then I want to lean into an overview. And if you've got your worship notes, I want you to follow along. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that on this day, as for thousands of years, your people celebrate your triumph. And it's a triumph over death, and so we need to be reminded, as we were this morning, of what you pushed into on that Good Friday, and what Saturday looked like for your people as they were forlorn and distressed and not knowing what Sunday would bring. But we today, looking back to the cross, know what it was all about, and so we are grateful for that. God, we thank you for the privilege of being together in a place of worship on this amazing, beautiful day. And so take these words and encourage us, God, to help us see what it is, Father, you desire for us. And Daddy, literally, may we pursue you with the same passion that our earthly fathers have sought us. And yet knowing that for some of us, that may not have always been a good relationship. But God, we just know, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you want to come and be with us. And so we thank you for that privilege. And we just ask now that you would illuminate our hearts and our minds to better understand who you are, so we can better understand who we are as your people. And all God's people said, amen. So a couple of important truths here this morning, because we get pulled in so many different directions. And so I want us to look this morning at just some fundamental principles, some foundations to how we do prayer, maybe in a new way for yourself. First of all, the first point is this, is that God is a multidimensional God. So to be honest, in this idea of prayer, it's not about how much you know about prayer, but it's really more about what you know about God. And so it's interesting that on Easter Sunday, churches around the world literally are filled with people who want to know more about who Jesus is, but more than just the what Jesus was, but why he came. And so as we leaned into the story from the Via Della Rosa to the cross and to the understanding of what Christ had to offer, it wasn't that he just came to be a good moral teacher. He came to give us life because of our brokenness. And yet we want to be able to look around us and see. So where we see how God is multidimensional is we look around us just in his creation, the beauty of even the flowers that are here with us this morning, or what we saw as we came in through the sunshine in this beautiful day. And Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for his, God's invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. And then he says, as a result, people are without excuse. And yet when we look into the world, we know there is not chaos, although some of us seems like our lives are chaotic. And it seems like that we're maybe in a season because of where we are in our own physical journey, the infirmities of life. Or maybe it's because of what some of you that we love that we're giving care to and the season they find themselves in. And yet we need to know that in God's order, that's not chaos. It's just part of this thing called maturing. And for some of us, it gets more complicated. And we have to trust that God is in that. And then we also have to know that God is a God of creativity. I mean, just look to your left and then look across to your right, and you'll see God's sense of humor, right, this morning? I mean, look at the beauty of all of us and how he's wired us in so many different ways and what we bring together to be the kingdom as families. But you see, it takes more faith to believe, to not believe in God than to believe in him. And Job, a great writer in the Old Testament, we know his story well because of what he pushed through. But Job says this: can you fathom the depths of God, or can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than Sheol, or the word hell. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. See, Job wants us to know that God is an amazing God, and we need to be reminded of that. And when we get reminded of it in a very particular way is in this story that we just end this morning, in one sense, but begin a new chapter in the story of Jesus' life and Jesus' incarnation. One of my favorite verses is this one from John chapter 1, verse 14, where he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Or the Message I Love says, "He took on flesh and moved into our neighborhood. We observed his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And the thing that we need to hang on to in the messiness of our lives is this next verse out of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, is that Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. Now, do you know anybody like that? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, if you're married, is your spouse like that? Are they the same? I'm guessing that I just know I'm the spouse to Melinda, and I know that I'm not the same guy within the course of a day. And it's because of our brokenness and because of what we're pushing through. But Jesus is not that. Jesus is neither bound by time or space. And so then we also see here how the Holy Spirit works, this third point. So I want you to see this as sort of the Trinity, why we have God the Father, God the Son, and how the Holy Spirit moves. We see it in how he moves. In fact, John, the gospel writer, says this: "The wind blows," talking about the Holy Spirit, "where it pleases. And you hear its sound, and you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Or Job, back to what he says. He says, "He does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. If he passed by me, I wouldn't see him. If he went by, I wouldn't recognize him." So we need to see that there is this God that has these multi-dimensions. But we also need to know, and this is the truth I want you to hang on to this morning, is that because God is, because he is multi-dimensional, that you are never alone. That there is nowhere, as David says here in Psalm 139. Look at this. David says, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I cast at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me." See, it's important as Christ followers, and even if you've not made a full commitment to Jesus, this idea of what he wants to offer you today on this Easter Sunday. Now, let me give you a tip. First of all, never try to play hide and seek with God, because you won't win, especially based upon what David says here. Since God is multidimensional and he's everywhere, the beauty of this is you can talk to him anytime, any place, anywhere. And that's what I want to offer you this morning, is just five ideas, five dimensions to who God is. I want to try to drill down and get real practical here very quickly. So, but I want you to see as a model of prayer that if you look at how these 5 points are laid out, that as you think about your own prayer time, that it can actually help you in the moments early in the morning, late at night, whenever it is, if you're a mom or dad with a teenage child that's driving, you know, in those moments, being reminded that God wants to be with you. So the first point here is this, is that when I pray, I look backward to the cross. And I love the fact that it's actually behind me this morning to be able to help emphasize this, that we need to understand that the cross is now on the timeline of human history. And that literally, as I've shared before, I'm working through the Bible in a year, and right now I'm in Numbers, and there's, oh my goodness, thousands of men here and thousands of men there. But I'm reminded that all that they pushed through in Leviticus, all they pushed through in Genesis, all that David's pushed through is all looking forward to this idea that Christ is coming. They don't understand the details of it, so that even on Good Friday, as we call it, they didn't understand what was going on. And yet for us as Christ followers, we get to look back to the cross to be reminded that Jesus died for us, that Jesus wants to give us a life. And so for me, there's three things the cross reminds me of. First, how much God loves me. Me individually, Tom. But you need to know how much he loves you, each one of you. And yet, also, we need to be reminded of how costly evil and sin is. How brokenness took a cost. It literally took the blood of the Son of God who took on flesh to move into the neighborhood. He had to offer up his very being in order to pay the sacrifice for sin. And the tension of that, though it's so amazing for us as his people, is that we stand here this morning forgiven. That if you name Jesus as Lord, that forgiveness is there for you. Now, the problem is we live in a broken world and we're reminded by the evil one all the time about our shame and our brokenness, about how we don't measure up. Yet those are all falsehoods out of the pit of hell itself. Now, here, 1 Peter says this. 1 Peter says, "For you know that you were redeemed for your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not the perishable things like silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb." We need to hang on to that idea. And I wanted to give you a suggestion here. When you're praying, one of the things that helps me is music. And so not only should you have, and many of us that are pushing into this 40-day journey have our prayer journals, and there's actually a place in the back for you to write your prayer requests, I would encourage you to put in your music requests. What is it that, what songs can encourage you as you think about your faith journey that can help you be reminded? Just as if the fifth dimension is how these songs that resonate with who we are as God's people, that music can be a very amazing thing to help us move into a time of worship. So all of us need to be reminded that all of your sins are past, that the cross is behind us, and that we're leaning into what God has for us today. Now, if you're doing the prayer journey, I would just have you write there in your sermon notes, pages 94 and 96. Because as you think about that section in the study, there's some things there that can help you think about what it is that you should pray about. So if I start by looking back at the cross, realizing that I want to move forward, the next step for me as a human being is, if I want to really grow in my faith journey, is looking upward. It's interesting that the Good Friday service, I was reminded as I was reading through that particular passage in John, it said that Jesus bowed his head and died. Now, what's interesting is most of the times when we read when Jesus was praying, he actually lifted his head up. And actually, I want to suggest that in that moment when he bowed his head, he actually was bowing his head in reverence, in humble adoration to his Father. And so for us as his people, we need to see that it's that loving face that we need to know. And as I said in my prayer, is that sometimes, though, the God that we want to serve and we want to love, then we think about Father, there's a disconnect. Over the last decade or so, I've had the privilege of walking with some at-risk teens, particularly young men. And the one thread that runs through their lives as teenagers is the missing father in their life. And how that missing father component changes the way they see themselves. And actually, I would suggest that's why they see themselves messy and why their lives are considered to be at risk. Although I look at them and just see that you know, they're amazing, but they just need to be encouraged. You see, when Jesus prayed, he told us to pray, he said what? Start with our Father. And if so, one of the things I want you to think about in the course of this week specifically, and if you're a guest here this morning, thank you for being here, but this can even be a challenge to you as you think about this week and you think about your own prayer time, is be intentional with the idea of starting out with Father. The idea of saying Father as you begin your prayer, as Jesus suggested. Because we need to be reminded that it is our Father, our Heavenly Father, who loves us. You're not giving a deposition to an attorney. You're not talking to your tax accountant, although some of you may be doing that later this week. You're not taking a lie detector with an FBI agent. You're able to talk to the individual, the person who created you, who knows what your wiring is, who knows what your gifting is, who knows what your passions are, but also knows what you struggle with. And so who else should we go before? Paul says this in the book of Romans, chapter 8, says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Say that, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified him. You need to memorize this verse. This needs to be on your mirror and in your car or in your book if you're a student, to be reminded that even in those moments when you're fearful, that that's not what God has given you, that he's in control. So when you think about what you think about God, actually, I want to suggest, determines how you pray to God. So that's why I want to challenge you this week, this idea of being able to say to God, Father, in a very intimate and personal kind of way. Because I want you to know that God's not some uninterested creator or some unpleasable deity, that he's not some untouchable stranger. And to be honest, if you want to see this in other people's lives, just listen to how people pray. Because how people pray will tell you what they think about God. So for many, God is a school teacher where we have to go, may I please go to whatever. And it's like, no, that's not. So let me just give you three things about what God wants you within the midst of this, what he wants his prayers to be. First of all, he wants it to be personal. This idea, he wants you to say, Abba, Daddy. You know, that's a baby term. It's one of the first things a child learns is that idea of Dada. And I know it may seem weird in your own faith journey, even as an adult, maybe it's weird to think of praying to God, Daddy. But I think when you start out in that moment, it helps to focus on what it is that you may be asking of him. And so when you settle this fact, it's going to change how you pray. How you see God will change how you pray. And I want to suggest that all misunderstanding of prayer is a misunderstanding of who God is. And so I actually want to drill down. So really your homework this week is I want you to start your prayer life this week. Every prayer that you offer, I want you to start with the word Daddy. And I know you may not feel comfortable with that, but you know what? That's your problem, to be honest. That's not what God wants for you. He wants that kind of intimacy. He wants you to be engaged with him. There's also this idea of that he wants us to be passionate. He wants us to cry out to him. Just like a child cries out to their parent. They don't care who or where somebody is or who's listening. They just want to tell you that there's a problem. And so God wants that kind of same response from us as his people. Again, this is not a meeting with your tax preparer. You may want to cry out to them. But the idea is you really, in God, your relationship with God, it's much deeper and it's much more focused. Paul says this again. I don't have it in your notes, but it's Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. So you see, this is the third thing, is it's a partnership. It's by his Holy Spirit. I mean, did you know that? Did you know that when you pray as a Christ follower, that you actually get the entire Trinity praying with you? The Holy Spirit is there. The Son of God is there. The Father is there and wanting to walk with you. Now, your loving Father understands. We sometimes don't know how to pray, and so that's why we need to be encouraged with this. Or maybe we have a hard time expressing ourselves. I know I do. God joins with us, and I think that's an important thing for us to see, because there's some moments when we want to pray and we're not quite sure what to say. And so I actually think God is there as Trinity saying, it's okay. Just sit with me. You don't have to say a word. Just sit with me. Take your Bible out and just go right to the middle and find the book of Psalms and begin to read through it. There's words that were written thousands of years ago, literally, that can be applied to your journey here and now. And don't be afraid to do that. And so it's in the midst of that understanding of how God wants us to pray, so we've got this next step here. And that's actually, again, if you're doing your prayer journal, take a look at pages 68 through 70. 68 through 70, there's some things there. So we look back to the cross, and we look forward to, really upward to who God is, and then this idea we need to look inward to ourselves about Jesus living inside me. You need to remember that Jesus isn't in heaven. He's with us here this morning. He's as close as you are to yourself. Remember, God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You remember that you have within you the power of the Trinity, all three in me. I've heard someone say. That's kind of a crazy way of thinking about it. But literally, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there to help guide you. That's incredibly personal. And that's when you can sort of maybe sense, and maybe a fresh way, of how much God desires to be with you. And I hope that it gives you freedom and courage to honestly face, first of all, your faults, realizing that you are broken. And if you don't know you're broken, turn to your neighbor, and I'm sure they'll tell you you're broken, because that's the thing that we all share in this room. Is our brokenness. Now, the beauty is what God does with that brokenness. And so we see here the writer of Paul again in 2 Corinthians says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you fail the test. See, sometimes in those moments we need to have courage to trust that God is in the midst of it, whether it's in the hospital room, or it's at the workplace, or you're a student at school and facing opposition of a bully or a teacher that doesn't quite understand you. Is that the Holy Spirit is there, and the Father is there, and the Son is there to walk with you. And yet we need to understand that in the midst of our brokenness, that we also need to understand that we get another chance too. The writer of Proverbs says this, the one who conceals his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. See, here's the secret I'll let you in on from Scripture. God already knows what you need to work on. So write that one down. I don't have it in your notes, but God already knows what you need. He already knows where you don't quite measure up. And you know what? He just wants you to begin a conversation with him to help move into a place of health. And it's actually, it's a messy word because it means that I have to reveal part of myself, but it's this idea of intimacy. And I'm not talking about, a marriage relationship of kind of intimacy. I'm talking about this deeper understanding. And even the way I've got it here on the screen, that into me you see. Into me you see what I am like. And for many of us, we don't want anybody to see that. But see, your Heavenly Father wants you to accept that and to walk with that, because it's only in the acknowledgement of that he can work with you. And then there's this list that comes out of Galatians of the fruit of the Spirit, that there's a checklist if you want to know what God wants for you. Right there's 9 different things. And you could simply pray every day. In fact, that's what Jesus did, is Jesus produced some fruit in me today. Help me to be more patient. Help me to be more kind. Help me to be more loving. Right there's a list of things that you can sort of leverage, if you will. So our first point was backward to the cross. Point 2 was looking up for our Father's face. We've just walked through this idea of Jesus in me, this inward introspection. And then here's where it gets sort of really practical, particularly as a church. So I need to look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use me. And that's the one I think many of us have a hard time with. We have an idea of what we want to do, but we're not so sure we want to do what God wants us to do. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to send you to Africa to do a mission trip, but I think there's a moment of instead of us criticizing and complaining and judging and whining, and maybe blogging and Facebooking and tweeting and Instagramming and Snapchatting, we simply need to have a simple prayer, simply this: God, use me. 2 words, use me. This morning, as you get up out, every morning as you get out of bed, to simply say those words: God, use me. Use every moment in my day to help leverage for me what it is that you would want me to do. I mean, remember this from Paul. Paul says this, chapter 6, verse 13, and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. I mean, have you thought of yourself as actually being a weapon for righteousness? I mean, this idea that prayer and your presence can actually be something for good? Because here's the truth of this matter. The world, literally the world outside the walls of this building, is waiting for your contribution. Whether you're a student in elementary or middle school or high school, or you're a senior citizen that's sort of gotten to the other side of your productive work life, there is still work for you to do. There's work for you to do together. There's work for you to do together individually, because that's where God calls us. The world needs our help. And the best launch pad for that is this church family here called Linden Road. I mean, part of the journey over these last few weeks has been this 40 day of prayer. And again, to show my hand a little bit, I just want us to chase the Holy Spirit, to chase God the Son, and to chase God the Father, to encourage each of us in our own way to figure it out how he would use us, how he'd use me, how he'd use each of us to be the kingdom to other people. It's the best launching pad. That's what the local church is all about. So we have backward is the cross, upward is our Father's face, inward is me, around me is the saying to the Holy Spirit, use me. And I may even suggest to our adult ed folks that maybe we need to think about redoing and offering again our class 301 that many of you took. But I think you could take it again, because the season you find yourself in today, where maybe you were a year ago. And so as we get through this 40-day journey, maybe we ought to pursue that. To again sit and say, God, how would you use me? How would you use us together? How could we do normal things in this community with a great amount of love? How can you do what you're doing and make a significant impact the world around us? So we get to this fifth point. I mean, we've got backwards and we've got upwards and we've got inward and we've got around me. And here's where it's sort of this final fifth dimension is I need to look forward to my future in faith. And so here's the encouragement that I think many of us struggle with. And so I want to encourage you as much as I can with this. You need to talk to your Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit about what this day will bring to you. Literally, what does this day ahead of us have for us? And intentionally saying, as you look at your to-do list, what should I prioritize on my list? Or what decision should I make this morning that's going to help me lean into what I need to get accomplished today? Who should I contact that could help me out? What could I say at that meeting? Or what could I engage someone else? You see, it's interesting, if you go to any, you could get on Amazon or you go to a bookstore, there's literally shelves full of how to make your life better. And what they'll tell you, and this is a thing that I've been trying to push for a while, is that if you would just read this, if you would just hang on to this and look at this each morning to encourage your day, there is nothing that can't be done. This is the ultimate book, the Bible. And it's so easy today because you can get it this way and you can get it this way, and yet we take it for granted. And so ultimately, as God's child, as his, here's the thing I want you to understand, that he, as his sons and daughters, and I'm going to close with this, is that you're going to win. I don't know about you, but if you want to win at life, I want to win at life. We know that God is for us. He's not against us. What God has wired you for will happen. I love this verse in Philippians chapter 1. I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's probably another verse you should memorize, because there are those moments, particularly if you're a young person, you're a student in school, where it doesn't seem so. Because the world is at war and the world is coming against you, but you need to hang on to this truth that Christ is for you. And that what he started in you, yeah, you've got to deal with mom and dad and you've got to deal with schoolwork and all that. What he started with you is actually something that he will complete in you. And that becomes a very good thing. And so this morning, this really has been just an example of one more way of how do I pray? I remember where I've come from. The fact that I have life this morning is because Jesus rescued me by going to the cross. That I know that he went to the cross because his Father sent him to the cross to pay for our sins. And so God the Father wants to have an amazing relationship with us as his sons and daughters. And then I know that in the midst of that there's a brokenness that I have that I have to own that may mean that I've got to set my clock to get up earlier, or it may mean I have to go to bed earlier, things that allow me to be what he desires for me, to create margin in my life, maybe to let some things go. And then I need to be looking around me, and then I need to hang on the very truth by looking around me of what God might do through me, through the Holy Spirit, is to realize that he has a future for us and that he's planned that future out. So this is just another way for maybe you to process as you think about what you have this afternoon to do and what you have to lean into for the rest of the week. But let's pray and then we'll stand and worship.